With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
You're expecting someone else?
No more foreplay. James Bond.
Hello and welcome to Smirch Pod, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them, hosted by me, John Rain. This week we'll be lifting up old relics to see if there's still life underneath while watching someone come back from the dead and someone gets fucked to death. Yes, it's GoldenEye. And joining me to get on the top of things and show us his Yanis is Dan Thomas.
Oh, that's very good. That's very nice work there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very pleased with that.
It's very nice to be here.
Yeah, it's very nice to have you back. It's nice to do a Bond again. I haven't done a Bond in a very long time.
Well, actually, I just realised this yesterday. I will have now done three of the four Brosnans.
Oh,
just
shit.
By
yeah.
Coincidence.
Yes, right. Yeah, you've done this, Tomorrow Never Dies, and The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah, with Dean. And, Die Another Day, weirdly, was the first film I ever reviewed for the student newspaper when I was a student.
Wow. And
when I was a student.
Did you give it glowing reviews?
I don't remember. Hmm. I think I thought it was fine the first time I watched it.
I think it largely is.
What, Die Another Day?
Yeah.
Really?
It's got some bad stuff in it, but it's a Bond film, isn't it? He's not sat in a corner crying.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. Back then, it's like, oh, the CGI shit. Well, you wait. There's going to be emotions in the next one, you pricks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is an exciting film, this one, because this was obviously 6 years gap, which back then was unheard of. Now it's just normal.
Yeah, I keep meaning, I've never really looked around this, but I know there was some sort of legal wranglings for 6 years, which is why it took so long, but yeah. I don't know what they were.
Oh, it's very complicated, but yeah, intense legal wrangles between MGM and UA and all this business, and I don't know the full picture, but I know it just put it on hold for a very long time. And then there was also the fact that Timothy Dalton quote-unquote resigned.
Well, just said, I can't be asked.
I
saw that. He was I'm getting too old. Oh, they said, he said he'd come back and do one, even in 1995. And they said, well, you'd have to do more than that because there's been such a gap. He said, I'm not doing this the rest of my life. And he told him to fuck right off.
Well, I've also heard a rumour that the studio didn't want him.
How old would he have been by 1995? In his 50s?
Probably late 40s, early 50s, yeah.
Okay.
But I think perhaps they were just like, well, we've got this guy who we wanted all those years ago, who's now free and looks more beautiful than he did then because he's matured slightly. So we're on a winner.
I will say this. He never quite felt like... I think I said this on Tomorrow Never Dies. He didn't quite become Bond for me until... Tomorrow Never Dies, I feel my fucking head. But still, because in this, he's still... The first time you see him, I know he's upside down, so his hair's going to be massive, but he does feel like a keyboardist from an 80s synth band in this one, looks-wise. There's a couple of moments where he is the slightly harder-edged, grittier one that he occasionally was later on. Like the first scene in Em's office, where she's going, you would call him a prick, basically.
Yeah.
And he looks really angry, and that was really good. But a lot of the time, he just feels quite shiny. But beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. I really like him. This is my favorite. This is one of my favorite Bond films out of all of them.
This one is one of a handful of films that when I watch it, I don't know if I'm going to hate it or love it. Every time I watch it, like it's completely based on my mood. And this time I watched it and I had a really good time.
Well, I'd use the analogy you used once about Bond being British Leyland. In that British Leyland ran into financial trouble and then 6 years later released a new car that was... had all the components of the old ones, but it was just new, sexier and shinier.
Yeah.
Which is what they've done here.
And this does feel like an update to the series. It doesn't feel like they're just doing it again. It does feel like... and this is the thing. Bond was always able to reinvent itself every decade, really. And it really does feel like a proper wham-bam 90s action film.
Yeah. Yeah. They've just made it very 90s.
Yeah, in fact, at the start they make it so 90s that they halfway through they got, this could probably do being less 90s. Can we get a different composer?
Exactly, yeah. I was going to talk about that later. I can't wait. but it's very 90s because it starts off, well, apart from the updated gun barrel, which I fucking love. Tomorrow Never Dies has my favourite gun barrel because of the music, but I just love the shiny... reflective gun barrel as he walks along.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I've never quite understood how the blood bit works, right? If we see the POV, how is it dripping down inside the barrel?
Maybe he's been shot in the head and it's bleeding over his eyes.
Yeah, but that's your eyes. No, it's gone into the gun. Anyway, I've just never been clear on it, but I quite like this, and this is the first CGI shot ever in a Bond film.
That would make sense. Well, but it's really well done. And yeah,
do you know it was a reshoot? Did you know his was a reshoot?
No.
Yeah, the first guy, Michael G. Wilson, it was originally shot by someone who wasn't Martin Campbell.
Right.
And apparently Pierce Brosnan was just standing weird. And Michael G. Wilson said, Martin, can you come back and do it? Because he looks mental in this. So that's the gun barrel we see is a reshoot. But I would love to see the original version.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'd love to see that. Also reminds me of the teaser trailer where that's such a good teaser trailer. Where he walks, there's a load of text about, you know, who's the man who does this, that and the other. And then he walks out of focus in the background and then he shoots all these letters to resemble 007.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And then
he
walks into focus and says something like, you were expecting someone else? And it's like, oh.
Not really. We've all seen the press release.
Yeah, we knew it was you. Yeah. Although, you know, it'd be funny if he walked up and it was Norman Wisdom.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. As I've often said, just once, I think they should do one Bond film that the casting is insane.
And get like someone like, oh God, I've forgotten his name. You know the one who does all those really amateur films?
Oh God, what is his name? Damn it. Yeah, but I know what you mean.
That's going to be rubbish for everyone at home, isn't it? I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Insert here, name of shit filmmaker.
I can't even remember any of the films he made. This is pathetic.
He does weirdly Christian ones.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Neil Breen,
yeah. I think that would be a waste of money. Yeah. I think it'd be much more funny to spend $200 million and have a really professional director, writers, cast, and otherwise crew, and then just, for some reason, just go, Joe Pasquale's doing this one.
Yeah.
On fire. What? Yeah. All the way through. We don't even acknowledge it.
John Goodman's playing Moneypenny. And M is, I don't know.
Idris Elba.
Paul Hogan.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Mate, you got to go and shoot somebody in the Middle East or something.
Something like that, I don't know. I got to go and have a little sleep now, mate. You know what I mean? Fucking ripping.
Oh, well, your impression is Sid James, but Australian.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So after the gun barrel, we know it's the 90s now because someone's going to do a
intense bungee jump, dude.
Yeah, I will. The stunt double. First of all, I didn't know that nobody of the first unit went to this place in Switzerland to do the shot.
Damn.
Yeah, no. Mm. It was literally just a couple of guys in a stunt team, right? Mm. And the stuntman looks, I mean, nothing like Pierce Brosnan.
No, and I think HD's really underlined that when it does the shot over his head. But it does look fantastic, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. And it was the biggest bungee jump or longest bungee jump they'd ever done for a film before.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Although I would say the thing that always bothers me is the physics of, you know, when he fires the little dart gun, thoop,
yeah,
and then he uses the trigger to pull him down.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Why?
Because you just think that the gun wouldn't have the power to pull him down on a cord that long and that, you know, that stretched.
After 25 years, where's your faith in Q?
I know, but I wondered if, like, he accidentally let go of the trigger and just twanged all the way up to the top again.
Yeah, we don't know he's the first guy to try this mission.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what happened to the other guy? Well, 005, he got twanged, man. Where is he? He's fucking miles away. He's all right, but he's not doing it again, he said.
He's on top of a church in Africa. yeah, but, you know, it's a good start to introduce our new Bond. But much like Chuck Berry, he enjoys looking out of toilet holes. People having a dump.
Well, it's not like the only reason he's there.
No, it's true. Bond. It'd be funny if it was, though, wouldn't it? There's no mission. He's just come to watch the bloke have a dump.
Yeah, just I would want you to break into a Russian facility and watch some men take a shit. Then what? Just report back. What?
I'm guessing you're there to get some sort of secret intelligence. No.
No, just come back and tell us who does the stinkiest shits. Right. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but when people have been calling you a bean counter, I thought they meant financially. You're just counting people's turds. That's my job. And then she just jumps out the window.
Yeah, it's because the Cold War's over. There's nothing to do.
There's nothing to do apart from count Russian turds. Oh, except this is still the Cold War. Oh, of course. This will be 1996.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that one is too big a leap for how much the main actors have aged, which is not at all.
Not at all. No. And when we know for a fact that Pierce Brosnan, from this film, looking like a model for CNA, next film looks like he's modelling for Millets.
Yeah. It's a rough couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, who's for me to say? But for the grace of God, go I. Pierce Brosnan's a very handsome man.
He is a very handsome man. He's wonderful looking now. But it's not about being handsome. It's about looking aged. And he does age drastically in 2 years.
He does.
Because he looked basically the same for 15 years. Because the way he looks in, is it the Longer Friday?
Yeah.
He looks basically the way he does in 1995. And that's nearly 15 years or something.
Yeah. But then he does this film, gets your hair cut. Oh.
Is that all it was? He just got a haircut? Oh, it's put fucking ears on him.
I think it's his ears. I think in this film, he's got hair that hides his ears a bit.
Has he got old man ears?
He's got big old man ears, yeah.
I have never noticed
I mean, don't
that.
Get me wrong, Pierce, if you're listening, I love you dearly. And God bless you for during the pandemic, it was the 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary, I can't remember which. 25th. He did a Zoom commentary.
Right.
And it was just him, full frame, his face, watching GoldenEye. And we were just looking at his face, and he'd go, ho, 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 that was good, that bit. For like 2 hours.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I genuinely, there's an art to doing commentaries, isn't there?
Yeah, he's terrible at them. He's absolutely... I mean, I used to listen... Back in the days when I used to actually buy films and listen to the commentary, which I can't imagine doing now, he's terrible at them. And he's sitting there watching GoldenEye in the background. He's obviously on his, like, Santa Monica estate or something. And in the background, you can see, like, billowing curtains and a beach.
Yeah.
And he's going, ho, ho, that was good.
I'd rather be over there.
but bless I'm him, here. I think it was for charity as well. I think it was like a stream thing for charity.
I'll give you £10,000 now if I don't need to do this.
But he does hang upside down, which again doesn't do his face much favour. I mean, no one looks good upside down.
Really. Yeah, he doesn't. Do you know what? When I did turn upside down to see how much, and he's like, he's in shape. His face is fine. He doesn't look puffy and weird upside down.
No,
he's
not too uncomfortable. Bad. He looks uncomfortable.
If I was upside down, I would look like Lloyd Bridges now, right?
I'd look like Jeff Bridges' nutsack.
And that was Jeff Bridges' nutsack.
Also, we're talking about aging. Jeff Bridges. Did you notice that at one point, Jeff Bridges is Jeff Bridges, right? Then he does True Grit.
Yeah.
And then since True Grit, he's
sounded like the man from True Grit forever.
I think that was... I think that was his real voice, and he's been pretending for years. Like, yeah. Before every shot, he was, like, taking helium.
I think you're right.
And then he went, wait a minute, you're telling me I don't need to do that no more? Gibbity, gibbity. And then he's just, yeah, he's been... I think people have gone, this is what we like about you at this, at your age now.
I think he's turning into a bloodhound, because that's how they talk, isn't it, in cartoons?
Yeah. 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 In fact, I don't know if you saw the TV show he's in, or The Old Man. I mean, that kind of is what he is.
Oh, is it really?
It's a spy thing. It's not a very good spy thing, but to watch elderly Jeff Bridges, still at the height of his powers as an actor, going up against John Lithgow, again at the height of his powers, is a treat in a fairly pedestrian show.
Oh, I was going to say, that sounds good, but I don't think I'll bother with that.
No.
So he gets in the toilet, and it's at this point, people of my generation, it kicks in, because you're playing GoldenEye on the N64, and yes, God bless them, they got all the sets mapped into the game, so everything's accurate, and I don't think you could ever remove one from the other. It's such an iconic experience.
Yeah, obviously the game is much lighter, which I guess it has to be, because it was I played GoldenEye for the first time in years, a couple of years ago. Hmm. And have you played it recently?
Yeah, it's popped up on Xbox Live. I've been playing it quite a bit.
Oh, wow. See, I haven't played it on that, because I played it on an old N64 with the old controller. And it's not that it doesn't hold up exactly, but the world has moved on. And you can tell how important the game it is.
Also, that controller's fucking mad when you go back to it.
Yeah,
it
that was the thing. It was like, what the hell is this? This is like if I was born with one thumb in the middle of my hand, is it?
Yeah, you think I used to play this for fucking hours. Yeah. With my friends, and now I go back to it, I pick it up, and I'm like, I don't understand how this
works.
Yeah,
my bones are changing shape just from holding it.
It's stupid.
I was talking about this a couple of days ago. I just said to a friend, I'm doing GoldenEye, and they go, the game? No, the film. Oh, I don't give a shit then. They were like, because they were good. I had never played Slaps. I'd never played GoldenEye Slaps only. And I've watched a couple of friends of mine play it. They taped it. And they're going, this is the funniest thing you'll ever see. I was like, is it? And then they showed me a clip because that is really funny, because two very confused people wandering around like a pyramid and then turning around going, ah! And they're just going, slap, 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 is inherently funny. And I never played it because I never had any friends.
Well, the only way to make Slaps funnier is if you both crouch, because when you see the other person coming, they look like a little swan. Because they kind of glide along when they're crouched.
Oh, that's right. They didn't walk, did they? They just went along. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I kind of want to go back and play it again, but it is... I think practically unplayable on the original hardware.
Yeah, I must say, though, having gone back to it how many years later it is on Xbox Live, I did get a bit bored, because I played it so much back in the day where I'm just like, what am I doing this for?
None of my
friends are coming round. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, the first time I used the sniper's rifle, this is off topic now, but the first time I used the sniper's rifle was pretty amazing.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I remember from it. And the level design is great, but it does feel... in my head, when I first played it in 1997, I thought, well, the graphics aren't going to get any better than this.
Nope, that's it. We've arrived at the pinnacle.
A man who looks like a photograph has been glued to a cereal box is everyone's head. And I'm like, how are he going to beat this? It's like looking it's like looking out the window.
This is like being in Tron.
It's just like being in Tron. And I look at it, but I felt that way for a year. Like, and everything had come along since then. I look at it now going, I think I must have had a blow to the head. Because as a kid, I was like, this is incredible.
I think, I'm going to go Alex Jones. I think they were putting like gas in the game that made you think it was like, it looked like the best thing ever.
Yeah. And not even was the graphics not great. The frame rate was appalling.
Yeah. Music was good though.
Yeah, the music is better than this, than the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Much more atmospheric.
I will say, though, I'm not necessarily going to die on the hill, but I'll get heavily maimed on the hill. I really like Eric Serra's soundtrack, apart from the bit they had to take out because it was frankly embarrassing. But I like the feel it gives it. It really makes it stand out with that sort of little metal block percussion thing.
I mean, the bit that really sticks out for me that I hate is when it cuts to the south of France and the car chase bit.
Oh, God, yeah.
I hate that. And it wasn't until... Because I went back and listened to the other version that you did with Alex Zane.
Mm.
So I went back, and I didn't know that halfway through the score changes.
Yeah.
Because in my head, it's been that score, and that's kind of what I've hated about the film.
Mm.
Is it just feel... It makes you feel cheap and twangy, and like James Bond, I don't know, some sort of junior version of it.
Yeah.
But this time, I watched it.
At times,
Yeah, and but now I realise that actually Eric Serra was fired or bundled into the back of a van about 20 minutes into scoring this. It's very acceptable.
Well, yeah, I think it's a track. If you go to the soundtrack, ladies and gentlemen, and I think it's called A Drive Through St. Petersburg or something, that Eric Serra did. It's so bad. He like does the Bond theme with... Oh, I can't even explain it. It's really bad. And they obviously heard that and went, no fucking way. So they called in John Altman. And he rescored it. It's basically the bit where they get when they're escaping in the archive, and then Bond drives in the tank. It's all that sequence where you actually get the Bond theme played with an orchestra and brass and everything.
Yeah.
But up until that point, I'd say I'd quite like. I mean, the driving sequence is embarrassing. But I quite like the little changing percussion of rusted metal, and it feels like the Cold War is a sort of walking zombie. I quite like it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that, but the car just won't put me in such a bad mood. This is the only time I think I can say there's been things I haven't liked about movies, but this is the first time I've ever gone, I've lost faith in this composer.
Yeah, no, I get that. Because it's quite. Although he does do there's a track called We Share the Same Passions when he goes to the casino, which is really nice.
Oh, okay.
It's proper John Barry-esque. But yeah, the rest of it's quite embarrassing. But okay. He gets out of the toilet, goes downstairs, and then he's confronted by a man in the shadows, and it's 006 Alec Trevelyan.
Yeah, nice little reveal.
Love
nice
it.
Nice bit of lighting.
He says, I'm alone. He goes, aren't we all?
Why, also, why did he do that? Because the thing is, Brosnan is well lit. Mm. 006 can turn around and go, I know who that is. He can just go, oi, mate. Why is he pointing a gun in his friend's face? Prick.
Just a bit of banter, isn't it? Office banter.
Oh, God.
He should have walked in and he should have, like, come sort of... He could have walked out with his bum hole hanging out, going, hello, I'm Mr. Bum.
You know what? I'm going to blow you up 3 minutes earlier than you think later. What? Nothing.
But, yeah, so apparently Sean Bean auditioned for the Bond role. Originally.
Oh, everyone did.
Everyone did, yeah. But... They like
he's
him
not
so
very
much.
Handsome. He's rugged, but he's not very handsome. He's not Bond handsome. It's a different look. He could have done it, I guess.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking he's a bit Daniel Craig-esque.
He would have been more Daniel Craig, I was going to say. Yeah.
But I think Pierce is more
classic. And also, he would have died in the first one.
Yeah.
Sean Bean. He did 5 films. He's not in the last 4.
Yeah, he died, didn't he?
Fucking
he
Sean
called,
Bean.
He called someone a bastard and an air conditioner fell on him. Yeah, I think what Pierce has going for him is that he's half Roger, half Sean, I think. I think that's what the perfect thing that he is. I've probably said this too many times on here, but...
When you say he's half Sean, Sean Connery, not...
Yeah, not Sean Bean.
Not half shaved.
Not McGowan, like right. Shane, completely different.
He is his own thing. And in fact, there's moments where he's only him. There's moments where he does things that neither... Connery definitely wouldn't have done, and... more probably when in fact the very last shot is him grinning from ear to ear carrying a woman out of shot.
Yeah,
and it's not that Connery never smiled, but well actually Connery only ever did wry smiles. I don't think you ever saw him beam in character.
No.
And I'm not sure that you ever saw Moore smile.
No,
particularly
no.
In fact this might be the only time you ever see Bond smile with like a twat actually. He's like gormless, like I'm gonna put my winky up a girl and then walk on a camera.
I'm going to go and have a look at their squirrel.
I'm going to... Oh, love! I'm going to... Now we've saved the world, can I see your flaps?
but they're there to infiltrate this place, which is I've written down, which is called Archangelsk. Archangelsk.
I thought it was just Archangel.
Oh. Well, I've got Archangelsk. I think I'm having a stroke.
No, I think that's a town near Ammanford.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. It's near Boob Town, whatever it's called.
St. Melons.
Thank you. so they get into the facility and he's like, that was a bit easy. And Sean Bean goes, well, half of everything is luck, James. And at that point I stop and go, what are you talking about? Half of everything is luck. What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, porridge. What's this? Well, it's porridge and luck. Well, put milk in next time. You ruined this.
It's just some dry oats.
Yeah. Lucky you. Fuck off.
And then he goes on the other half, and then the alarm goes off, and he goes, fate.
Yeah. So half of everything is luck, and the other half is fate.
Yeah, so it means nothing's in your control.
God, that doesn't mean anything.
No, it's just wanky. But then we get this embarrassing banter that everyone has to hear, because he says, set the times for 6 minutes, so he does so, and then he goes, closing time, James, last call, buy me a pint. That's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Why? Because who would offer James Bond a pint?
Well, exactly. Pint of what?
Fucking vodka.
Yeah. And then, because
I just want to say this. They are undercover operatives in a large echoing warehouse, and they're just shrieking at each other, do you want a pint? Oh, my, cheers. Do you think the Russians are going to hear us? No, we'll be fine. And they just, shut up. Plant the bombs and fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Just put them in, get out, done. Yeah. No, they have to be like Lord Bantosaurus and the Archbishop of Banterbury wandering about.
We're in Bantanamo Bay. Shut up. Yes, I will buy you a pint. Can you just fucking keep your voice to your belling?
Oh, God, stop tucking your knob between your legs and walking around like a penguin and saying, just I'm a lady.
Plant the bombs. Plant the bombs. Put it away. Good God.
Stop farting into your hand and waving it in my face. It's disgusting. I'm trying to plant
a bomb. I'll tell you one thing. Right? I'm changing offices when we get back to London. Mm. You're a fucking nightmare.
But then, to make it even worse, have you ever had a time where you've said something out loud that you and your mates have like as a private joke and no one gets it and you're really embarrassed? Because then Bond says, close the door, Alec, there's a draft. No response. Oh, and he looks out and then Alec's been captured. That's it. That's double embarrassing, isn't it? A, we've been busted. B, my slogan got heard. And
yeah, exactly. It feels like, it could have just been like, close, there's a draft. And then he goes, Alec. And then he turns around and there's no one there apart from Alec going, I couldn't think of anything to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what the comeback is. We haven't got that funny banter.
He could have got the microphone like that man in the thing in that Walmart video where he puts it to his ass and does a little fart. And it echoes.
Should we leave now? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the film. If they get into this banter, they would have got away with it fine.
Easily. Yeah. Plop the bombs down, out of the chute, done. But no, they have to be fucking Top Gear.
They have to be fucking Clarkson Cannon and Ball. Just like, God, if they just... I don't even know what the job is either. It's not that hard a job. They've done everything wrong. Mm. First of all, how's Sean Bean got in there?
Mm.
Right? It feels like there's a better way to get in than jumping in through the shitter.
Do you know what I'm saying? The ladies.
I just walked into the women's.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You jumping in the roof of a toilet was mental. Right? Yeah. And Also, first of all, keep your voice down. Second of all, if there's any opportunity, you've just been in a cubicle with a man, right, that you've knocked out. Steal his uniform.
Yeah.
Pretend to be a Russian. I don't work here, but I got better ideas than these boys.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But they didn't listen to you because they got caught.
Well, they didn't ask.
Well, I want to ask you a question about this, something I only picked up last night, and it's now bothering me intensely.
Right.
Okay, so Alec being held, Oromov, who I love, he's great.
Yeah.
He's got a gun to his head. And then he says, finish the job, James. Blow them to hell. And then... by the way, we also introduced previously that Alec keeps saying, for England, James, which is annoying. Because I think that sort of overestimates that British people would say that. I don't think they would. They'd be too embarrassed.
That was a different time then.
Yeah, it's true. Cool Britannia. Anyway, so...
For Sheffield, James.
Yeah. Up the blades, James. So he's got a gun to his head. Says, blown to hell. Gets shot, right?
Yeah.
Now, we know later on that must have been a blank, yes?
Yeah.
So James sneaks out behind that little trolley full of gas.
Nice bit.
Yeah, love bit, because squeaky wheel makes it funnier. That's the rule of comedy. If if something's got a squeaky wheel, it's funny.
Yeah.
Soldier, all nervous, accidentally opens fire. Oromov turns, shoots him, dead.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, right? So that has to have been a blank. So it wouldn't have killed him.
In fact, this opens up a bunch of questions.
Mm.
I mean, you have to time it exactly right. This is like a... Okay, so you're right. He would have shot him. Unless he hasn't really shot the other soldier.
But the other soldier went flying.
Maybe they've gone, right then. This is like Amdram, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's what's going to happen, everyone. Oh. First of all, I'm going to shoot this guy. And Sean Bean's like, hi, lovely to be working with you all. let's put on a show. And then he goes, now, later on, what I want you to do is, on the off chance that the other guy hides behind a squeaky trolley, shoot him, right? And then I'm going to shoot you. Got it? Okay. What if that doesn't happen?
What if I accidentally hit the gas canister and we all blow up and die?
They're not real gas canisters. They're not... Yeah. Glenn, this is improv, okay? We're all just having a bit of fun.
Okay, all right.
In fact, none of this sequence makes sense, though, you've said that.
Yeah.
Because in my head, Sean Bean was recruited... as opposed to already being a traitor. But if Orimov hasn't really shot him, then he's already a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on there then?
Yeah. I think this was just his plan to defect. It was to play dead. The timers were set for 6 minutes, but obviously James changed them to three. And he was just going to lie there till Bond left and then walk out. But of course, after
a lot of things have to go exactly right for this plan to work.
Yeah. And this soldier being killed is the canary in the coal mine of this plot.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't want to blow... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to blow up... give away the whole thing by shooting the guy. But yeah, you're right. He would have to have one empty chamber.
Yeah.
And he'd be like... Sean Bean's like, I'd better be the first person you have to shoot today, mate. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, this can't go wrong. We don't want this to be like... If Noel Edmonds is running this, I'm not doing it. I'm telling you that now.
Despite the fact he's got sort of the same hair as Pierce Brosnan at the moment.
He has, yeah. Brosnan just needs a little funny, fluffy beard.
He just needs, and some iced tips.
Oh, I guess he has that in Die Another Day, doesn't he, at the beginning? He's got that big beard.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he gets rescued by Mr. Blobby in that as well. So Bond gets away. Absolutely wonderful stunt of jumping over the cliff as the plane goes over and then taking control of it and flying it out. Love that.
Yeah, I love the bike coming off is really good. Obviously, and I appreciate the blue screen and model work. And in fact, actually, obviously, the credits are about to start. And it is a lovely transition between almost old Bond and new Bond.
In that
you see some people's names for the last time, especially on the crew front, like Derek Meddings.
I was going to say, there's a lot of Derek Meddings' wizardry in this.
In fact, this was the biggest job he ever had, I think he said it was the biggest, most model work he'd ever had to do for a Bond film.
It's really well done as well. I mean, when we get to the Severnaya thing, there's some lovely trick photography there. Well, not trick photography, trick model work, I'll say.
Yeah.
That once you know how the gag works, you can't unsee it. But if you didn't go looking for it, you're like, well, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
So, credits. R.I.P. Tina Turner.
R.I.P. Tina Turner.
Song not good, I don't think. I've never liked it.
No, I sent you a link the other day to Classic FM's All the Bond Films ranked. Yeah. This was like third. It's like, it's bollocks.
This is shit.
And the lyrics don't really make sense.
They don't, because it's like, I think they didn't know what GoldenEye was when they wrote it, because they're like, GoldenEye, not lace or leather. What were you talking about?
Yeah, but I'll be honest, I went back and, because I, like I said, I was listening to the former GoldenEye episode when I was driving to a gig the other day, and about halfway through you got talking about music, and I put on Spotify, I put on the playlist of the Bond songs, and you listen to some of them. A lot of them are incoherent garbage.
Yeah.
Like, even if they got a good tune, you listen to the lyrics, you go, what on earth are you talking about, Nancy Sinatra? How is life, Love is a Stranger, and then it's gone? Well, that was, why introduce a new character and then get rid of him straight away in a song?
No, it's true.
That was the one that made, and that's like number two on the Classic FM list.
Okay.
And then Live and Let Die, 17th. They said it's not very good.
Ridiculous.
That's mental, because it's the best one.
It's the best one by miles, yeah.
Yeah. A song so good, it is not affected by having 15 seconds of the worst Bond film in the middle of it. Not Bond film, Bond theme.
Oh, you mean the reggae bit?
The reggae bit that he said, Linda, you got any thoughts? And she said, yeah. Is it about vegetarian sausages? No, it's about reggae.
All I hear from you all day is vegetarian sausages or reggae.
Yeah.
Pick a lane, bitch.
Or you could do both, but not in the song.
Yeah.
You could, like, or what if it, after all that bit, Paul, you just went, veggie, veggie, veggie. No. All right, well, I'm out of ideas then.
I bet if she'd have loved meeting Levi Roots and they could have done some reggae, Linda McCartney sausages.
They may have met. We don't know. We don't know what sort of sexy parties they go to.
Oh, where God.
Is that Levi Roots? Is that Linda McCartney? Yeah. Is that Giuliani? Yeah. What the fuck's he doing here? Well, I don't know.
Wow.
It's a terrible party, you know?
Yeah, it's awful. But that's mental. This is the Live and Let Die's way below GoldenEye. Because GoldenEye, it's fine. And you're kind of like, okay, we haven't had a Bond film for 6 years. Fine. Bono and the Edge have written it, for fuck's sake. The man who wears a hat to his own daughter's wedding.
Who was attacked to his own daughter's wedding?
Oh, God, you have to see this picture. When the Edge's daughter got married, he wore a suit, like a tuxedo, wedding suit, and his little beanie.
He wore a little beanie to his daughter's wedding?
He did.
On this, the day of my daughter's wedding, I'm going to wear a beanie.
Dad, just take the beanie off. I want to see your fine head of hair. No, I'm going to leave it on.
No. Or at least get a top hat. If it's covering... First of all, you shouldn't feel ashamed. But Can I wear a top beanie? I don't know what that would be. Like a really tall beanie? No, Dad. Please, God, no.
Does the Edge still think 30-odd years later, since he's been wearing a beanie or a hat, that people don't know he's bald?
Yeah, if I... oh, God, I've just found the picture. Fucking hell, mate. Yeah. He looks like he's come... He's through his shift on the bins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's such a terrible look.
In fact, it's so tight as well. It doesn't even look like a beanie. It just looks like he's painted the top of his bald little head.
Maybe he has. Although he hasn't. He's not bald though. He's got a very fine head of hair under all these.
I know, but it looks like he's shaved his head and he's dipped his head in ink.
Yeah.
Rather than, because his beanie is like a child's beanie.
Yeah, it is. Also, you think in this day and age, with the amount of money, let's face it, the Edge has probably got a lot of money. I mean, even like B to C list celebrities now are getting plugs.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get some plugs put in?
He's happy with his little hat.
Oh, I know it's his look, but it's embarrassing, mate. Sort it out. And so's this Bond theme, by the way.
Yeah. What is it? The thing about that Classic FM thing is I think they're judging it on a very different metric to us. Mm. So, fine. But I don't like the song. I never liked the song when I was a kid. Unfortunately, my favourite song when I was a kid was... God, what's it called? The one that Duran Duran did. Due to a Kill,
yeah.
I tell you, A License to Kill I listened to as well.
Yeah.
When I was driving the other day. That actually is a banger. I've never listened to that in isolation. Because I have to say, every time I watch a Bond film, I kind of do skip past that bit.
Oh, no, it's my favourite bit.
What, your favourite bit is the songs?
Well, not favourite, but I can't skip them. I love them. I love all the images. Maurice Binder's sexy lady images. Except this film is Daniel Kleinman's sexy ladies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a strong theme. It sounds like it's been done on like a little keyboard, like especially those meh horns.
Yeah,
that sound
I didn't
horrible.
Like it. What I was going to ask was: is this the first time that the film had its own? The title of the film had its own specific logo.
Yeah,
right.
It's always a particular font.
Because it was always I thought it was always Arial, basically just a very clean lines for most of the last 25 years before this.
Yeah,
no, and this one's got a big cartoonish logo.
That's a really good opening titles, though. After 6 years out, to come back with this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's good. And it is that recap. It's a very nice, almost poetic, visually poetic way of going, lots changed.
He does a great job. They only didn't use him once for Quantum of Solace, which is just a bit of a nightmare.
What does he do when he's not doing this?
He's a director. He directed Smashy and Nicey, End of an Era. And he recently directed the Harry and Paul... 60 years, 100 years of the BBC mockumentary.
That is a weird career.
Yeah. And he's done commercials for Smirnoff, Guinness, Levi's, Johnny Walker, Durex, and Audi. And he directed the iconic Boddington's commercials featuring Melanie Sykes.
I don't remember that.
It was the ones where she's asking for an ice cream. It's supposed to be Venice, but it's the canals of Manchester. That was the joke. Anyway, so 9 years later, Bond is out on the road in Monte Carlo with a woman who's been sent by the MI6 to evaluate him.
Yeah, what's the... she's been sent out there to evaluate. First of all, he's on a mission. We found out he's on a mission. It's like, you're going to have to wait. He's on a mission. Evaluate him before or after.
Hmm.
Because otherwise you're going to end up maybe shot. Worst possible scenario, you'll have to shag him.
I think sending a young lady to evaluate James Bond is like asking Philip Schofield to hire a runner. Not saying anything. I'm just saying.
No.
Philip Schofield's not very good at that. He's a presenter. No. That's not his job.
He's a presenter. It's not really his job to hire... stuff.
Exactly. And Bond shouldn't be evaluated by a young lady. I'd like to see this scene play out if it was a big fat bloke with a beard.
Yeah, it should literally... Yeah, exactly.
Right, Bond, the witness, pull over. I don't like you driving.
You got anything to drink? Well, I've got some Beaujolais here. Oh, thankful God, fucking parched. Okay, now then, when I tap the dashboard, I'd like to shoot that cunt over there. Right.
Bond, why have you pulled over? Why are you caressing my breasts?
Do you know what? I don't feel comfortable with this. Can I touch it? No. Yeah, he wouldn't. It'd just be like, Why would you send... Why do they keep making this mistake? This happens in a bunch of them. Go, well, we send a young woman. Stop sending young women. You should send older gentlemen on their third marriage to help Bond. Everyone that Bond encounters should be like a British version of Jack Wade.
Yeah, exactly. Or like Gary Oldman in Slow Horses, just an old tired man who's done
that. Would be so much more interesting as well, actually. Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But yeah, so he encounters Famke Janssen.
Lovely Famke Janssen.
Lovely Famke Janssen in a red Ferrari.
I found out, was rented.
Oh, right, really?
And they kept breaking it.
Oh, I remember at the time watching a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and there was a blooper where they crashed the car.
Yeah, that cost $80,000.
Wow.
I once saw Famke Janssen.
Did you?
I was in New York, and she was eating in an outside restaurant with a dog.
What was the dog in a chair opposite, wearing a hat?
It was... right, I come to evaluate you, Famke Janssen. No. Okay, now then. If you're next film, you can't have any beef. Right?
What?
Yeah, you can't have any beef. So they've sent me here to make sure that you just eat a nice vegan diet.
Because if you do have any beef, I have no... compunction to lean over and go, yum, 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 and eat
it. I love beef, and you have to lose weight for the part. Not my fault. It's just the studio wants you thin. You know what it's like in Hollywood. It's tough. Like, why have they sent a dog to evaluate me? Fuck off. I'm qualified.
Yeah. I didn't spend 6 years training at spy school for dogs. I don't know why I went to spy school. This is films, but...
Yeah, you know. I went to spy school, didn't love the business, became a guide dog, and now I'm basically guiding you into a weight loss program.
And then, sadly, he died. Because dogs don't live that long.
They don't live that long, so he wasn't in the business that long. No, but generally, the dog was just sitting in her lap, and she didn't look at me, but the dog looked me straight in the eyes.
You must have seen one of your videos on YouTube.
This is a while ago. It was weird. It was like, oh, that's Famke Janssen, and the dog was like, fuck off.
Yeah. He's don't an look anti-paparazzi at my missus. Dog.
Yeah.
Don't you even think about taking a picture, I'll bite your cock off.
I love the fact that Famke Janssen would have a dog who inexplicably is from the north.
It basically sounds like Sean Bean.
Yeah.
It's all licked.
Don't think about taking a picture, you bastard.
So they have a bit of a game of cat and mouse driving, bit of fun. And he lets her go in the end. But we do get a lovely Bond moment, which I think all Bond has forgotten about this. Where you get the cyclists all falling over in a domino.
Yes.
Sort of thing you have in the background of Bond films traditionally.
Yeah. Do you remember when there was a lightness of touch and humour? Hopefully that will be back in the next iteration. But I remember this as being a massive stunt where they fall over and they kind of go down the hill. It's actually just two shots. It's basically, it's a fast cut. One of them falls and then it cuts to the last one falling. Mm. And it's done very efficiently, but in my head, it tricks the brain into thinking that it was a massive stunt with like 20 guys falling over, but it's not.
No, it's great. I love it. So he lets her go, and then, as we mentioned earlier, she wants him to pull over, and he's got a bottle of Bollinger. She goes, oh, James, you're incorrigible.
That is, by the way, that is Pierce Brosnan's son is the hand double there.
No.
Yeah, because Pierce Brosnan hurt his hand, wanking, whatever.
Wanking, probably.
But just before they started shooting, so that was... that's his. I think you talked about this last time. What is the practical purpose of a fridge in the middle of a car?
Is to keep drinks cold.
That is true.
I'd like one in my car.
I used to have a Mini Cooper that the glove compartment could be not chilled exactly, but it had a little fan in there. So if you had the cooler on for the rest of the car, it would specifically cool the glove compartment for beers and sandwiches.
That's a lovely idea.
But it does look from where I'm in the GoldenEye one. It looks like it's where the handbrake should be. And I don't think... I don't know much about cars, but I know if I'm choosing between a fridge or a handbrake, I would probably go... On this occasion, I'm going to go handbrake because I feel I'd use that more as a driver.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. But I'd quite like a little glove compartment with cooling mechanisms. Because on a very hot day, you could just get where you're going, just sort of, you know, sort of open it and just sort of wiggle your crotch on it. Because, you know, you're going
to
be sweaty.
You could do that. Not as a... I mean, you'd have to... Only if you're a passenger, obviously.
Well, you could go and get in the passenger seat, obviously, with no one in there. And just so sort you're going
to... God, it's been such a hot day. I'm just going to pull over and sit in the passenger seat and cool my balls.
Yeah, lovely.
Why is that dog here? Fuck off.
Yay. So they then... I've put here there should be a scene of raw banging in that car with no music. She's like, James, you're incorrigible. And then just him going,
They should have the squeaky wheel noise from the start of the film come back.
Yeah. And then him having to sort of cool his knob down in the glove compartment.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that was here.
Also, I'd update this film. I'd do a George Lucas. I'd update this film. Instead of the cyclist falling over, I'd have a giant human centipede just fall over.
Well, this is just a bunch of ass-to-mouth people going up a... And no one's thought to stop to help them. No. Like, we only got away. Like, help. No, we're in a car chase at the minute. Oh, man.
Oh.
We've had a terrible week.
You've just made it worse. Thank you very much.
Prick.
So he watches he gets to the Monte Carlo Casino Royale.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah, been in that casino. I stood in the lobby because they wouldn't let you in any further because I was dressed like a Welshman on holiday.
Why did you go to Monte Carlo?
It was me and my sister went on a cruise in about 1999.
Hmm.
And one of the places was, we stopped there and we had a bit of a look around and they said, go and have a look at the casino. And Elton John walked out.
No.
Elton John walked out and I could not remember his name and I was 5 feet away from him. And for some reason I went, oh, that's Reg Dwight.
Oh, did he shout at you?
No, because he wasn't expecting anyone to go Reg Dwight.
No, true.
He was like, if I'd said Elton John, he'd be like, all right. But he was like, there must be another Reg Dwight round here.
I'm surprised he didn't come out with a tennis racket and say, you've ruined my tennis match.
Well, he was in a casino.
He was playing tennis in the casino.
That's why he was probably leaving. I don't give a fuck who you are, mate. I run a good casino, but yeah. Another proper Welsh Monaco casino. Hey, Bellend. This is for Baccarat, not fucking twats, right?
Not backhanderack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I was saying that then, it was quite a strangled gag, but doesn't matter. The point is, look literally across the road. There's a tennis club. Right here, this is where we play things like poker, baccarat, hungry hippos we just had put in, play half a cash. we got an afterburner. We put that in near the shitter. I run a good casino.
We've got Daytona.
We got
over by the cloakroom.
We got one of them 1994. I mean, it's only 1995 now in the world of this bit that we're doing. But we got one of them big CGI things. Not CGI, like VR things where you pretend to be flying a plane. But when you turn your head, it takes fucking ages. Because computer's slow. Like, anyway, we got one of them. Anyway, my point is, go play tennis somewhere else. This is a VR Baccarat Hungry Hippos venue, right? And dress nice. Look at you wearing your big glasses and your stupid shorts, right? Come here in a tuxedo next time, you twange.
And that's when you saw him walking out.
And that's when he left, yeah.
Wow.
And then it turned out, I saw the bloke who was running the place, and I knew him, obviously. He was at Ammanford, nice bloke. Glyn. He goes, yeah, I was working. I don't know, I got the job to ask you. I had a job. I was in a Ladbrokes for 8 years. And then the bloke was running. He said, oh, do you know what? I'm opening a casino in Monaco. Do you fancy the job? I say, fuck aye. So off I went. And I let me... I just wear a shell suit all day. But everyone else took tuxedos. And he was smoking then out. I bought one.
I like to think he smokes a pipe.
What, with the guy with this voice is smoking a pipe?
Yeah, yeah.
No, thanks.
But I mean like a proper old pipe.
No.
Or roll-ups, dirty roll-ups.
Oh, dirty roll-ups. Yeah. Dirty roll-ups, definitely, right.
It's also got a Dodgems at the back there.
I just wander around Monaco looking for old, like, Rizzlers people have dropped, like.
So, in the car park is a red Ferrari that you saw earlier.
Which I imagine there's a lot of those in Monaco. So he's memorised, in that car, just he's somehow memorised the number plate, has he?
Well, I think he spotted it's a forgery.
How can you tell if it's a forgery?
James Bond, that's right.
He spotted it now. Yeah, all right, okay.
So he gets in and she's playing Baccarat. Not Burt Baccarat, as I always thought. It's just him laying nude on the table. And he sits down and
actually, that'd be horrible. The dice keep falling off. Stop moving, Burt Baccarat.
What the world needs now is a table, not me. I'm out of here. So he beats her, and as they walk off, he gets to say his famous line. I remember Pierce Brosnan in the interviews when this film came out just saying he couldn't wait to do this bit. And I think he nails it.
What's the line?
Bond, James Bond.
Oh, James Bond. Bond, yeah. James Bond.
Yeah, he goes, the name's Bond, James Bond. Why is your name Bond, James? No, it's Bond, comma.
Yeah.
James Bond.
So your name's James comma Bond?
No. James Cumberbund.
Yeah.
No. And she's called Xenia Zaragevna on the top, which I think is a fantastic name.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a great gag. Because Pierce Brosnan, using his smooth little cheeky face, says, on the top.
Yeah. I wonder how many drafts they go through on a Bond film of women's names.
Yeah.
I wonder if on the top is a real Russian name, that they're just like, oh, we got lucky here.
I wonder.
Because we read that, we were going to call her like Greta Minge. But then...
It's like that episode of, what was it called? You know Robin Williams, who's an alien?
Milk and Mindy.
There was a character in that called Arnold Wanker.
Right, okay.
Because in America, that wanker means nothing.
Well, yeah, but people who've like been over here and all, back then before the internet and basically the globalisation of all data, it would be like, oh, do you know wanker's really rude over there? And let's use it here, because it's a fun word to say.
If you look it up on YouTube, someone's compiled all the times someone says Arnold Wanker in the episode. It's quite funny. Yeah, if you're a child. But yeah, she says, when they ask for a drink, he asks for a vodka martini shaken, not stirred. Oh no, she says she wants it the same.
Straight up with a twist.
Straight up with a twist.
Which feels dirty, but isn't.
Well, she kind of also motions with her cigar as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, like, yeah, but I think she holds the cigar directly up, and if her penis is doing that, it's going back into the man's body. Well, that's not good or sexy.
Well, the first draft, she said straight up the arse. Yeah, you can't say that.
Okay, no, let's do some alts, I think, on that one. Straight up, Mafani.
Yeah.
Closer.
Yeah. Perineum.
Straight up with the twist. Well, you don't need twist a penis during the sexual act. We'll go with it. Straight up.
Go with the twist. It's with a grunt. What you said before. Go. We're running out of time. We're losing the light. We're indoors. Shut up. Carry on.
You guys, I told you boys, you want to be out here by 5? You're filming bullshit.
But one of my favourite jokes is in here where he tells her that, you know, her license plates are fake, and then he says that he's a commander. She says, oh, well, I've got this guy's an admiral, and he's played by Billy J. Mitchell.
I love this guy. I looked him up because what a strange career he had. He's one of those American. I feel like half the films you talk about have some Americans who just moved to London in 1978 and just didn't leave. And he's one I didn't really recognise particularly, but he was in loads of stuff when I looked him up. And what a great day of work he had.
Absolutely brilliant. Because he's an admiral, and then she says he's an admiral, and then he says, I always like a woman who enjoys pulling rank. Love that.
Does that mean like going out in the pull and pulling someone who's higher ranking?
Yeah, that's like you going to pull a bird and then going, this is James Acaster. And you'll be like, oh, okay. Or, I don't know, Ben Elton. Yeah, Ben Elton. This one's Ben Elton.
Oh, I do like people who like pulling Ben Elton.
Yeah.
Or James Acaster as well. He's had a hell of a time.
He has, yeah. Has he? I think he's having a nice time, isn't he?
This is the papers, I can say, because I know James a bit. But you know, I was in the papers. You know his girlfriend left him for Mr. Bean?
No.
Yeah, his girlfriend left him for Rowan Atkinson. And he was like, this isn't his stand-up, so it's fine. But he's like, I'm the only man in the world who a woman has left him for Mr. Bean.
Oh my God, that is a woman who enjoys pulling rank.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she tells Bond it was nice to meet him. And then he says, the pleasure, I'm sure, was all mine. I thought, I bet he's going to knock one out later.
I don't think he's ever got time.
No, you're right, because he goes...
Between drinking and shagging, when's he got time to rub one out?
I think he has to all day long. I think he's got a problem.
Oh, like JFK?
Yeah, exactly.
If I don't have a wank, I get a headache.
Yeah. Dirty boy. Do you think his head exploded because he hadn't had a wank that day?
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. And Jackie was like, let's tell people he got shot.
Yeah.
Not because I wouldn't tug him off earlier.
Oh, who shot him? And she just randomly points. That fella up there.
Somebody, what in the school bookshop? Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
up there.
Definitely. Not because I definitely didn't give him a reach around it. That's what happened there. Yeah.
Harvey Oswald sat up there eating his chicken. Like,
love it. He's just up there having lunch.
Yeah.
He's like, what have I done? Well, and the police are like, look, we're not quite sure about the details, but Jackie Kennedy said you didn't toss him off earlier and his head blew up. What is happening?
Why?
By the way, is that a sausage roll? No, it's a pasty. Right. And then that got misquoted.
Oh, I got misquoted.
History.
Unbelievable. History is such a delicate thing in your hands. You have to hold it carefully or it can be misinterpreted.
That's a joke I could only make for you because I know you love JFK.
I love JFK.
No one else. In my head, I was like, this is going nowhere, but I'm going to try the pasty joke and see what happens.
I was going to do one, if you hadn't, about who's your favourite actor in Lethal Weapon 2.
Joe Pesci?
I'm just Patsy Kensit. Patsy Kensit. It needed more work.
I don't know if people know this, but a lot of this show is improvised.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it.
No.
But Bond gets to get a fax in his car. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We find out that Onatopp's are part of the...
No, but hasn't he got better technology than a fax machine, like ones in the 60s?
Yeah.
And he got like a video, like he could talk on video calls. He can fucking Zoom with people in 1960. He goes, hey, we got rid of all that. We put a brother fax machine in now.
Yeah. There's a photocopier in the boot.
And a fridge.
We shouldn't have done that deal with Ryman's.
Yeah.
It's annoying though, this film, because this is the first one. I'll save that till we get to it. But it's the car thing annoys me, but we'll get there. So we find out that Onatopp's part of this Janus crime syndicate. And this boat she's on is leased to them and everything. And then Moneypenny says, good night, James. I trust you'll stay on top of things. He should fax one back saying, fuck off.
I don't like this introduction to Moneypenny. We should see her the first time. It's a weird reveal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And because even though it's sort of a reboot, they've already got the banter, but we haven't met her yet. So it's not like an earned moment.
I agree. The scene they do introduce her is perfect, so they should.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah. So the Admiral's having sex with Xenia, and she kills him.
Yeah. She chokes him with her hamminge.
Oh, she also slaps him on his tits.
I can't tell if he had a great day at work or if he was like, if he had to go home and just like
Sets have his a wife.
Well, yeah.
How was work? Fabergé had to slap my tits.
Yeah. The scene, it's like that scene where Eva Green is crying in Casino Royale and his wife just comes in and just licks the blood off his fingers. He goes, here we are, that's better. Leave me alone, Lynn. I've had my tits bitch slapped.
I got killed by a minge. Oh.
Do you know what? You hope, you work for years to get into a big film and they choke you with a fanny and slap your tits. I was hoping, I turned down the cherry orchard for this. Not a euphemism.
No. No. yeah, so he's dead. And his ID pass gets stolen by a mystery hand. I still don't know who it is. Is it supposed to be Oromov? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, it must be because he's the one flying the helicopter.
Is he? Yes, he is later, isn't he?
So yeah. It's, yeah, the only people, yeah, they're working on their own at this particular bit. It feels like, considering how many people you see working at the Golden Life facility at the end, it does feel like they've just, they haven't got enough staff to cover everything. Like, there shouldn't be one of the world's most famous Russian generals swanning about doing this. No. Hire, get someone in. Get on bark.com and find someone.
Yeah. There's probably an argument for there needs to be another henchman in this.
You need a squad of henchmen. It's a big job, this. You're stealing an helicopter. And you're really famous.
All it takes is one person to recognise Oromov, and that's it. The game's up, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
It's like Elton John playing tennis inside a casino.
Yeah, exactly.
So Bond goes on the boat, beats up someone. And
dressed
then,
like a prick, mind.
Oh, he's dressed awful, isn't he?
Why? What the hell? He looks like he's... I don't know if anything outside Wales has this, but he looks like he's in charge of the bar committee in a sports club.
Yeah.
He looks... Gold buttons. Gold buttons. He looks... Like, he could be wearing a tuxedo from the night before and he'd look cooler or just, like, undone. But he looks... Yeah, it's a very odd choice. He doesn't look like... No 15-year-old boy is going, I want to be him.
No.
They're going, my granddad already is him.
Although it was 1995, whatever he'd have worn would look bad now.
I don't know.
He should have been in a Dayglow t-shirt. You know, the one where you touch and it changes colour.
I know what you mean, but there's somewhere in between that and dressing like Patricia Routledge's husband from Keeping Up Appearances.
I mean, he definitely is dressed like Richard.
Richard, go save that helicopter, would you? Richard! I watched it this time and went, that's not a good look.
No, it's really bad.
he looks great, but that's because it's Pierce Brosnan. Anyone else would look like a dick.
Yeah.
And he's close.
He is. Talking of close, he opens the cupboard and that dead fella falls out, the Admiral. With big smile on his face.
I don't think I'd have a smile on my face. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, yes, I've got Hanke Jansen sitting on my head, but at the same time, I can feel I'm dying. But I'm more concentrating on right now.
Maybe he got there at the end, you know? Maybe he was like, my last breath, and then... Oh!
Well, that's a joke from Basic Instinct. He came and went at the same time.
There you go, yeah.
And everyone's like, lol, and it's like, that's a shit.
Mind you, the bloke they found in Basic Instinct didn't have this smile on his face, did he?
Well, he had an ice pick in his fist.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe he used the anal toy that he recommends in Top Secret. He dies in Top Secret with the anal toy, doesn't he? So... That's two films he's been in where he's died fucking orgasming him.
Wait a minute, this guy's in Top Secret?
Yeah, he's Nick Rivers' agent.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh my God, well, being typecut. Lynn, they've got me in for a part where I die sexually again.
Yeah, we don't see him die in Top Secret, but we hear that he did. It took him 3 days to get it out of his ass. So, yeah.
What a this poor sod. Yeah. And he decided that he died 2 or 3 years after this.
Yeah.
He made a career of dying with things up his arse and down his throat.
Oh, he's got typecast. Imagine that. You know, like people like Christopher Reeve talked about being typecast as Superman. And he's listening going, I wish I was typecast as Superman. That'd be fine.
I know, but this is not quite the same. Yeah, this guy's like, what's the poster for this? You'll believe a man can choke to death in a minge.
Meanwhile,
do you know what? Somebody did an impression of me on this podcast at me the other day.
No.
And I was like, that's not, yeah. They went, oh, I'm Dan and I talk about films. Bum, bum, cum, cum, tits. Right? And I was like, I don't say that. And I'm like, I kind of do sometimes.
Yeah.
And there was somebody who was a fan of me on this show.
There is someone.
No, this is the person who's going, I like you on the show, but you are bum, bum, cum, cum, tits.
No. Oh, well, fuck them.
Which is the name
you
of the next
me.
Album.
Fuck them. That could be your, like, I imagine that. You like, bringing out a little record of your act and it being very much like a Richard Pryor cover or a Steve Martin cover. It's very arty. It's just called Bum Bum Fuck Fuck Tits.
Live.
Yeah. Where's your Netflix special, then?
Well, I haven't got a Netflix special. I've got an S4C special I've never watched.
Oh, there you go. You never watched it?
No, I never watched it.
Oh.
It was it was just a traumatic. It's very hard making programs, and sometimes, unless you have to, you don't watch them back because you relive the trauma of its production.
I'm not a podcast sometimes, I've got to say.
Yeah.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.